Well, it's good to have a warm and comfortable place to be tonight when it's so inclement outside. We have worshiped together, and we appreciate those of you who are joining us as visitors tonight. The church here gathers at this hour every Lord's Day evening, and to have people come and visit with us is always welcomed, and it's a privilege to meet you and have the opportunity of sharing with you about our faith and about what we believe concerning serving God in the generation of which we are a part. It would not be a revelation to you, nor would it be a secret if I were to remind us that families are fragmenting at an alarming rate around us. And if I were to tell you that parenting has fallen on some pretty rough times for those who are trying to rear children in the generation of which we are a part, that wouldn't be anything new to you either. All of us are probably aware statistically that the average marriage in America lasts about 7.5 years. And that 60% of all second marriages fail. If you were to take it and just sort of put it on a clock and sort of look at this on a daily basis, every 30 seconds in the United States there is a divorce. That's in a 24-hour day, of course. Kids can now divorce their parents. That's been successfully done on an occasion or two, as I recall, where some child just makes a case that these should not be my parents. I don't want these people as my parents for one reason or the other. It may very well be that there are a lot of people here that have wanted different parents than the ones that they had. And yet, that's not really a choice many of us ever have anything at all to do with. Tonight, I'm going to be looking with you at a passage of Scripture and several that are related to it. Out of the 20th chapter of Exodus and verse 12, and we're just simply going to talk tonight about that commandment and what is implied and what is stated when Moses wrote, "Honor your father and mother so that you may live long in the land." I want to begin by telling you that this passage was not given with some expiration clause. There was not some time limit or age limit that was set on this. It just simply says that if you are a human being, you are to honor your father and your mother. It doesn't say anything at all about the age of the children. All of us are children. All of us were born to someone at some point in life. You might be 80 years old tonight. You may have parents that are 100, but you're still supposed to honor your father and your mother. You may have parents that have been living down the street from you for years, and you may see them every day and can't remember a time in your life when you didn't see your parents every day. Or it may have been many, many years since you've seen your parents because your parents died long ago. But you're to honor your parents. You're to honor your father and your mother, no matter whether they be living or whether they be dead. I remember hearing a fellow tell about his granddaughter who was 6 years old, and she was out in the yard helping him rake leaves one day, and she chatted about all kinds of things, and he decided that he would ask her about her Bible class. He said, "What are you studying in your Bible class?" And she said, "Well, recently we've been talking about Adam and Eve." And so to test her to see what she might have learned, he said, "Well," he said, "did you know Adam and Eve sinned?" She said, "Yep." He said, "Did you know that they were punished for their sin?" She said, "Yep." He said, "Well, do you know what God did to punish them for their sin?" And she said, "Yep, He made them have kids." And she'd gotten the order of all of that right, but obviously she had missed the lesson. But there are times, I suppose, when those of us who are people that are raising children will ask ourselves the question, what did we do to deserve this? We have this little idiom that says we pay for our raising. And some of us are wondering whether or not we have paid again and again and again. Did I ever really do things as a child that would have warranted the payments that I've made on rearing my own children? I think God gave us this fifth commandment, honor your father and mother, because He knew that it would be difficult for parents to raise their children properly. I think He also knew that it would be very easy for children to develop a disrespectful attitude toward their dad and their mom. Because children come into this world basically in a very selfish mode. They want everything to go their way. The baby's anthem is, "I want what I want when I want it." But it doesn't improve a great deal from that, because as teens we think our parents are hopelessly ignorant. All teenagers think that their parents are so behind the times they'll never catch up, or that they'll never be able to understand life as we experience it right now. But when you get to be a young adult, you have your own family, and your life is pretty well consumed with the responsibilities of work and trying to establish your profession or your work somewhere, and then your family that you're having always occupies your time. And then by the time you get to the middle stage of life, where your children are raised on your own or maybe on their own, there can be the tendency to view your aged parents as wearisome burdens to you that infringe on this time of life where you've earned a little freedom, and yet now you have parents that are demanding things of you. Well, this commandment tells us differently. I believe the process of restoring our homes to God's ideal begins with this pivotal fifth commandment. We need to honor our parents. And we need to notice that God is not just saying that this is something for youngsters. This is something for little fellows. He says it doesn't matter whether you're a young child. It doesn't matter whether you are a teen that's still living with your parents, or whether you're older and living on your own. You must honor your parents. Why in the world would God give a commandment like this? Well, in the first place, I'm going to suggest that He had to tell us to honor our parents because, as we've pretty well figured out, there are no perfect parents in this life. All of us have weaknesses, and all of us have faults, and all of us have imperfections. We all have inconsistencies, and we all make mistakes. The only perfect parent I've ever known was God the Father. And yet He had children, as He said in Isaiah the first chapter, who grew up to rebel against Him. That does not indict God as a parent, but it does, of course, indict the children for not honoring their father as they ought to have honored him. Even the very best parents make mistakes. Even the very best parents have been guilty of sin. The Bible says that we have all sinned. And because we have all sinned, we are all in one way or the other warped. I saw a book not too many years ago on a bookshelf in a store that said, "I'm dysfunctional, you're dysfunctional." That about sums it up. And that was the title of this book that a fellow wrote, and I've thought about that many times. That's really the human predicament. We are all in a mess because we are all sinners. None of us had perfect parents. And in spite of the fact that we might have thought as we were coming up that I'm going to be different than my parents were, and we may have been different than they were, and we may have done better than they did at times, we still have made our share of mistakes, and so we're not perfect parents either. There are many parents that are not worthy of honor. There have been parents who were abusive. There have been parents who have been manipulative. There have been parents who were neglectful. And then when I look at a commandment like honor your father and mother, I wonder, what am I supposed to do with that? We'll talk about that in just a little bit. Am I supposed to ignore the pain that my parents caused? Am I supposed to put on a happy face and pretend everything is great? Well, no, you're not. But God is saying, I want you to honor parenthood. I want you to honor the position that these people occupy, and there are many good reasons for doing so. There are three sources of authority in life. There's the home, and of course there is some authority that's invested in the church, and there is authority that comes to us through human government, and each of these entities have roles in our lives, and they are the basis of an orderly society. God wants you to honor the position of parenthood regardless of the personalities that are associated with parenthood. I'll tell you another reason that God commanded this is because respect for this authority begins at home. It's a critical lesson every child has to learn. This lesson, if it's not learned, is going to play a major role in how well a child does in school, or how well he does in his career, or how well he may perform in the other relationships he has in life. If a child grows up saying, "Nobody's going to tell me what to do," well, we know that he's in trouble, don't we? We know that if his attitude is, "I don't have to listen to what you say to me," he's going to have a very difficult time keeping a job. There are a lot of times you have to do what somebody tells you to do, whether you want to do what somebody else tells you to do or not. So what God is wanting is he's wanting us to learn respect for authority from the earliest age. You know, when you walk into a courtroom and you have to stand before a judge and you may have to address him as your honor, you're not really making a value judgment about that guy's character. He may really, in fact, be a jerk. But when you say your honor, you are showing respect for the position that God has placed this man in, and God has placed parents in a position of authority over us in our early ages, and we're to learn how to respect the fact that there are people to whom we answer. There are people that we have to give honor to. And then I believe this commandment comes from the Lord because obviously how I relate to my parents is going to affect every other human relationship in life. This is the major forming factor in our lives. Our style of relating is set at home as we begin to find ourselves in that little bit of humanity, in that little society known as home. We learn how to relate to other individuals that are there. And even today as a grown-up, when you act in ways you don't understand, sometimes when you cannot figure out your own behavior, many times it's because we are still reacting to our parents or we're reacting to something that we did as children. There have been many marriages that have found themselves ruined because a spouse never resolved some relationship with a parent. And then they end up taking that out on their husband, or they take that out on their wife or their children. They may angrily point their finger and say things like, "You're just like my mom," or "You're just like my dad." And when somebody says something like that, you know that there's some unresolved issue. There's some unresolved anger. And this person with whom they're now living reminds them of that circumstance. If you get along with your parents, you have far less stress in your life. That's almost something that ought to be common sense, but it's a documented psychological fact that if people get along with their parents, their lives go a whole lot better. Well, how do I honor my parents? That's the question. What's God really expecting me to be doing here? And I'm going to answer that in different ways because it really depends on what stage of life you are in as to how you apply this commandment. This commandment is applied differently depending on where you are, but all of your life, from the cradle to the grave, you are to honor your parents. Let me say to those of you who are children tonight, and if you're a child, and if you recognize you're still living at home with your parents, and you may be a teenage child, but let me tell you that there are some things that you need to do to honor them, and primarily and elementally here, you must learn how to obey and to respect your parents. The New Testament tells us in Ephesians 6 and verse 1, "Children, obey your parents." And one of these modern translations says, "This is the right thing to do because God has placed them in authority over you." And that's Ephesians 6 and verse 1. We have to obey them. And the word obey is not a dirty word. It is not a word that suggests that somebody has taken leave of his own senses and so he just does whatever somebody else tells him to do without any thought on his own. We obey, we do what they say. We do that willfully. We do that pleasantly. We do that immediately. The Bible teaches that as long as you're under your parents' authority, you're to obey them. You're dependent upon your parents for your food. You're dependent upon your parents for your clothing, for your shelter, for a lot of other things you haven't thought about, like insurance. And when you get sick and go to the hospital or have to go to a doctor, somebody's taking care of that. These people that are your parents while you're a child have the right to call the shots in your life. And when you're out on your own, well, of course, that's a different issue. But as long as they are providing for you, as long as you're dependent upon them, the Bible says that you must obey them. And obeying them is the way in which you show them honor. It's the way in which you demonstrate your respect for them. But we don't remain children long. In fact, let me just challenge you to remember that we spend more of our life with our parents not being a child than we do as a child. A lot of people think, and young people, children especially, think, I just cannot wait to grow up because I'll be through with my parents. And they have no clue that they'll have more time with their parents as a young adult and as an older adult if things go in the natural order as they usually do. Most people, this would be true of, than they ever did as a child in their home. So we pass from being a child to being what we might just call a young person. And let me tell you that as a young person, as you begin to realize things about your parents, you are going to have to learn how to accept these people that are your parents, not wish that you had other parents, not envy people that have parents that you don't have. And you have to find some way or the other to appreciate these parents that you have. The older you get, you begin to realize things about mom and dad that maybe as a little child you did not realize. You start seeing the fact that they have real faults. And you start realizing that they have a few hang-ups here and there. And you recognize the chinks in their armor. You see the things about them that are not so beautiful, not so pretty. Things that maybe other people who do not live in the same household with them, they just don't know. But I will tell you that it becomes important for you to accept them in spite of the fact that they're imperfect, in spite of the fact that they manifest their own set of weaknesses. Why should I choose to accept my parents? You say, I didn't have a choice. Well, remember this, neither did they. They didn't have any choice over what kind of children were born to them. They had a choice as to whether there would be children born to them, but they did not go pick them out somewhere from a lineup. They didn't get a catalog and get to put this thing together like one orders a car and get it exactly the way you want it so that you know when you begin to have it that it's exactly what you always dreamed of having. You're kind of stuck with each other, and so you are forced in some ways to accept one another. Accept one another for who each other is. That's why this is absolutely vital. Now, accepting them does not mean you pretend that they are perfect. It does not mean that you ignore their mistakes. It does not mean that you agree with everything they've ever done or that you agree with everything they've maybe even asked you to do. But acceptance begins with realizing that God used them to bring me into this world. Your parents may have been excellent. Your parents may have been mediocre parents, or you may have had some poor parents, but regardless of how they treated you growing up, the fact is they gave you something nobody else would ever have been able to give you. They gave you your life. And you owe them to some extent your life regardless of the parenting skills that they used because God chose those two people to bring you, the unique person that you are, into this world. And so not only this, but we accept them because we listen to what they have to say. When you're out on your own, you may not be bound by their advice, but you don't despise it. Proverbs 23 and verse 22 says, "Listen to your father who gave you your life, and do not despise your mother." You can disagree with your parents without being disagreeable. You will listen to them and you will pay the courtesy of listening to them, not tuning them out as if they don't exist. Any of you remember those little Charlie Brown cartoons that used to be on television and he would be sitting in the classroom listening to his teacher who was wah, 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 wah? Well, that's the way some people do their parents. They never hear their words. They know somebody is wah, 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 wahing, and it just gets on their nerves that they even open their mouth and make any sound at all. Why can't you just go away and make no notice that you're even on the planet? But the fact of the matter is, we must listen to what they have to say. Now, accepting them also means that we have to learn how to forgive them when they fail. The fact of life is that we often hurt the people we love the most. And if you don't understand what I've just said, you haven't lived long enough. If you live long enough, you're going to find out that the people you love the most are generally the people that you're going to hurt the most. Sometimes you will do that intentionally because it's fun, at least initially. But then it will be something that you will often do, probably more times than not, unintentionally. If you live together for any length of time, you're going to be hurt by the people in your family. That's just life. And guess what? It's the same way down the street. It's the same way with the families you see sitting around you tonight. Families have to be built on forgiveness. And if they're not built on forgiveness, they don't stay together. Because the only way that a family can stay together when they hurt each other is to learn how to forgive each other. Today, it's not as popular to honor your parents as it is to go lie on a couch and blame them for all of your problems. But Proverbs 20 and verse 20 says, if you curse your parents, your life will end like a lamp that goes out in the dark. Read that. Think about that. If you curse your parents, your life will end like a lamp that goes out in the dark, Proverbs 20, 20. Bitterness is self-destructive. It always hurts you more than it does the person you're bitter against. It always causes you more trouble and gives you more grief than the person that has wronged you or the person that has upset you. And even today, if you're still hurting, even today, if you're being resentful and bitter over things that your parents did in the past, you're still allowing them to be in control of your life today. If you say to them, you make me mad, well, you're admitting that they've made you do something, aren't you? They've made you feel the way that you feel, and they have control over you yet. And the only way that you can avoid that is just to learn how to forgive. I'm to accept my parents. I'm not to despise them. I'm to listen to what they have to say. I'm to offer forgiveness. The fact is, God gave you your parents for a purpose, and even those who were mistreated severely growing up, God doesn't want you to honor their sins. God does not want you to honor their weaknesses and the things that they did wrong to you. No, but He is saying to accept the fact that God chose them to bring you into this world. God gave you your parents for a purpose, and God can take away that hurt. God can turn that hurt around and bring good out of it if you will react in the right way. You honor your parents when you forgive them for what they did wrong and you choose to focus on what they did right. In Deuteronomy 26 and verse 11, the children of Israel were told to be grateful for the good things that the Lord has given you and your household. The things He's given to you and your family, we might say. God says, I'm not only to accept my parents, the good about them and the bad about them, but I am to appreciate them. And it's easy to take our parents for granted. Some of you had super parents, and it's easy for you to appreciate them. But for many others of us, life has been difficult for us because of our parents. You can't change your parents. You shouldn't even really try to change your parents. The real way to love and honor your parents is simply just to love and honor your parents despite their flaws, despite the annoying things you disliked about them when you were a kid. Put up with whatever it is that they do that annoys you, and do it not because you'll get some tangible benefit from that, but because they are your parents. And because you are to love them, let them know that they are welcome in your home, that you enjoy having them around, that they don't have to walk on eggshells around you. Yes, your way of doing family may be a little different than what your parents did, and that's okay. And yes, they'll probably give your kids candy before dinner, and that's okay too. And yes, you wish they were a little more this way or a tad more that way. But that's just normal. That's just the way it works. But they are your parents and they brought you into this world. And if you're serious about obeying and following Jesus, you're going to honor them. And you're going to love them. And one of the ways, again, that you do that is that you just say, I have to appreciate the fact that they made an effort. Parenting is hard. It is very difficult. It's time demanding. In fact, it is an energy-draining job. As a parent of three children, I have a greater appreciation for what my parents went through. It took a lot of energy just to corral the kids, much less teach them anything. I remember when Liam was coming along, and we were already looking at 40. And everybody would say to me, oh, this is wonderful because it'll keep you young. That is a lie. It will wear you out. Kids take a lot of energy. Kids are people that require so much of parents. Have you ever considered how much easier your parents' life would have been if they hadn't had you? You just stop for a minute and think about what their life would have been like had you never come along. They say they can tell the stress of the different years of a tree's life if you cut it and look at the rings. There are certain rings that are real small. In other words, they're narrow from one ring to the other. And that supposedly, according to dendrologists, suggests that those were years of crisis and stress. I would say that for many of us, our lives growing up could be seen in our parents' gray heads. It is true when parents say to children, "You see these gray hairs?" Or "Do you see this lack of hair?" Maybe not that. But gray hairs can come because of stress. When was the last time that you thanked your parents just for their efforts? Just for the fact that they put up with you? Who else would have done that? Who else could have done that? And let me say that to appreciate them, we can also appreciate their sacrifices. Parenting is expensive, if you haven't figured that out. I read the other day, and I don't know how they come up with all of this, but somebody said that if you're a parent, a new parent today, that to raise your child to maturity, I looked at these folks over here, it's going to cost you about $250,000. Now, you don't have to pay that today. We'll take it on installments. But I think all of us understand, however expensive it is expensive, isn't it? Think of all the things your parents could have done with the money they spent on you. My dad would have bought all kinds of tractors and combines and farms and all kinds of things. But he wouldn't have anybody to work it, so he probably had that calculated. Somebody said that a father is somebody that carries pictures in his wallet where he used to carry money. And one preacher said of somebody that was going in for the church directory, he said that the father said when he was having his picture made, he said, "In this family picture," said, "why don't you have your son or have my sons put their hands in my pockets? That's their natural position. They have always got their hands in my pockets looking for something from me." When a couple chooses to have children, they're choosing to do without some things. They really are. Now, they're getting something in return, but they're choosing to do without some things, so we should appreciate that sacrifice. If they hadn't had to spend that money on our clothing, if they hadn't had to spend that money on our schooling, if they hadn't had to spend that money on our doctor bills, Proverbs 23:22 says that when your mother is old, you show her your appreciation. It's a great transition when your parents come to the point that they become your friends. But let me suggest to you that this is not all there is, because as an adult, honoring my parents means that I am going to affirm the fact that they are yet my parents and I am not going to abandon them. For many parents growing older, the older they get, the less respect they receive. Think about this, and some of you are experiencing this. But we all know that the older that we get, our affirming friends that we've had begin to die off. You get to the point where you're going to a lot of funerals, and these are people that are not old folks that you knew in your youth. These are people you played with when you were a boy. These are people you went to school with. These were people that you raised your families with. And so the older you get, you begin to have all of these people that always affirmed you to die off. Sometimes we find older people in our generation who are shuffled out of the marketplace because they're no longer wanted there, even though they've acquired a lot of skill and even though they possess a lot of wisdom. I tell you, America is one of the few cultures on earth where we shoot our sages. You know, where we don't want our sages around anymore. The people that get to the point where they know something, we want to retire them and bring in somebody that doesn't know anything. Your parents have a great need. They have a desperate need to feel and to know that they are important people, that they made some kind of positive contribution in your life. Your parents need the affirmation that nobody else in the world can give them but you. No one can. It doesn't matter what other people's kids think about me, but it matters to me what my kids think about me. It matters what they think about my life. They need that affirmation for the rest of your life. As long as they are alive, they need to know their significance to you. Well, how do you do that? Well, for one thing, you affirm your parents by staying in touch with them. You know, every time you write your parents a letter, that's passe anymore, isn't it? Every time you send them a card, every time you make a phone call, every time you text them, and you do have parents that text. In fact, some of us parents only do so because it's the means by which we communicate with our children. And if I'm talking to anybody tonight who doesn't know what I'm talking about, you're missing out on something. Your kids are not going to call you on the phone, and they're not going to send you a letter in the mail. They might get around to emailing you, but if you don't text with them, you will not communicate with them, because that's the only way that this generation of which we are now a part is communicating with anybody at all. I'm not saying that's good. I'm not thrilled about the idea, but it's one of those things that we have to do if we're going to be able to stay in touch. And every time your children do this to you, every time as a child you do that sort of thing, every time you maintain some contact with your parents, you are obeying this command. You may not realize that's what you're doing. You may not realize what it means to those old people that you're paying some attention to, but the fact of the matter is, it is a significant thing. Honor your father and your mother. To honor them means you understand the significance of that person. I would encourage you also to share with your parents the details of your life. Let them know what's going on with you and your children, if you have children of your own. They're very interested in that. You'll find them to be not as bossy about that as you think they might be. In fact, their first thought is, oh, I'm glad it's not me that's doing that. I'm glad that I don't have to be responsible for the way my grandchildren are being raised. The Bible says we're to value and to treasure and to hold in highest esteem aged parents. Proverbs 3:27, do not withhold good from those who deserve it when it is in your power to act. Do the right thing while you've got time to do it. You need to affirm your parents now, because all the funeral flowers you can buy won't make up for it. And it won't make one bit of difference when they're gone what kind of send-off you give them. But it will make a great deal of difference what you say to them while you are living. Affirming them means listening to their counsel. It means giving them the courtesy of asking for counsel. Even if you don't follow it, at least you asked what they thought. And that makes the difference. That involves your in-laws too. We have some pretty good examples of Moses listening to his father-in-law. We studied about that this morning, didn't we? We have some pretty good examples of Ruth listening to her mother-in-law and honoring her mother-in-law. A mother-in-law, of all things, gets honor from a daughter-in-law. And yes, that's valuable. In fact, in some ways, it may be more valuable than what that son might have done for Ruth's mother-in-law. What she got from her daughter-in-law was significant to her. And the Bible says that the way you treat your older, elderly parents is the demonstration of your true faith. What? Well, 1 Timothy 5:8 says, anyone who won't care for his own relatives when they need help, especially his own family, has no right to say he's a Christian. He has no right to say he's a believer. Such a person is worse than the heathen. That's a paraphrase, but I think it's pretty close to the translation that you'd find in 1 Timothy 5 and verse 8. That's pretty strong language, by the way. There is a shameful tragedy in our society today where busy families are abandoning the elderly. And they're abandoning the aged to die all alone. The Bible teaches when your parents or your grandparents become too old to care for themselves, It's not the government's responsibility to do that. It's yours. It's the cycle of the family. It's the normal life cycle that takes place. And as time passes, roles reverse. Where at one point in your life, they fed you, they bathed you, they cared for you, they took care of you. As people grow older, as people live longer, the roles are reversed, and it may be that you'll have to feed them, and you'll have to bathe them, and you'll have to care for them. And God says, that's part of being a Christian. And we shouldn't think of that as burdensome. We should think of that as a part of the life cycle. And for a Christian, it's the way in which we honor our father and our mother. It means all kinds of different things. It may mean going and changing the oil in their car when they need it. It may mean inviting them into your home. It may mean hiring a nurse to care for them when they're frail and they're not able to take care of themselves. There are all kinds of applications to that. But the point is to honor your father and mother as an adult. You will make sure that they are cared for. And there are a lot of you sitting here tonight that are already facing this kind of issue. God said, honor your parents. 1 Timothy 5 and verse 4 says that we should put our religion into practice by caring for our own family and so repaying our parents and grandparents. We know this is pleasing to God. You know, it's interesting to me that when Jesus Christ was dying on the cross, dying for the sins of the world, one of the things that he did not forget to do was to make sure that his mother was cared for. He looked at his friend John and he said, "This is your mother now. You care for this woman that I have cared for throughout my life." Hanging on the cross, dying in pain, one of the seven last things he said, looking down at John, was, "You take care of my mama." And while he's dying for the world, he doesn't forget to provide for the care of his aged mother. And let me say to those of us who are parents that if we want to be honored, we've got to be honorable. It behooves us to be. There is something that Paul said in Ephesians chapter 6 that I'm going to paraphrase here, Ephesians 6 and verse 4, because you've heard it. If I were to say to you what Ephesians 6, 4 says from one of our translations where it says that You fathers, don't exasperate your children. Bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, etc. A paraphrase of this would be, now a word to you parents. Don't keep on scolding and nagging your children, making them angry and resentful. Rather, bring them up with loving discipline. What Paul is saying is don't drive your kids nuts by being unpleasable. And parents need to remember that. As we get older, we need to recognize that we need these children. Don't try to make your child another you. One of you in this world is absolutely enough. They'll be who they're going to be. And we need individuals. We need to bring them up in loving discipline. The key to good parenting is loving discipline. Every child has to learn from the earliest age that disobedience brings pain. Everybody has to learn that. God says that if you disobey Him, there's going to be pain. And every child has to learn that disobedience brings it. Obedience also, they need to learn, brings freedom. You know, when you obey your parents, here's a key you guys over here and scattered around need to know. When you obey your parents, you are more trusted every time you obey them. And they are more willing to give you more freedom every time you obey them. And they are able to give you more responsibility every time you obey them. And every time you do not, what you do is erode their confidence in you. And you make them terrified of you being on your own or being out someplace where they can't supervise and superintend your activities. As a Christian parent, our number one goal in life should be to ensure the fact that our kids come to know Christ when they're old enough to understand. I held my breath, and I held my breath many times as I raised my three kids, two of them, I've raised, one still being raised, until I could see that without any coercion whatsoever from parents, they made their own commitment to Jesus Christ. I didn't want them to obey the gospel because I wanted them to. I wanted them to follow Jesus because they saw the imperative nature of that for their own soul. I know that if I were to die today, that I'd see my children again in heaven. As a parent, I wouldn't rest easy until I was sure that all of my family was in the fold and had made that personal commitment to Christ. I'd pray for it and work for it and do everything that I could to bring that about. But I'd realize that it's all up to them, not up to me. They may honor me to some small extent by their faith, but the fact of the matter is it has to be this way. It has to be their own choice, their own decision. Because there's no other way for a person to become a Christian. What if one or both of my parents aren't honorable? What do I do with this? I know this has probably been painful for some of us. It's easy to honor your father and mother when everybody's nice. when people are good, when they're godly. But I am sure that some of you had parents who hurt you very, very deeply, and your life has been changed by that, not for the good. And I want you to know tonight that the Bible says there's severe judgment for people that would abuse children and not repent of it. If someone would mistreat and neglect and molest a child, the Lord is not going to forget that, whether anybody else remembers it or not. There is severe judgment for it. I think about, it wasn't really in this context, but the statement applies. Jesus said in Luke 17, anybody that offends one of these little ones, it's better for him to have a millstone tied around his neck and thrown into the bottom of the ocean. He was talking about disciples when he spoke of little ones there, but the figure that he was using would be, it would be just as disastrous for somebody to mistreat a little child. It's serious business to do that. What does God expect me to do if I found myself in that circumstance? How do I honor a parent that was dishonorable to me? God is not asking you to gloss that over. God is not asking you to deny the pain. God is not asking you to repress that or to make some excuse for your parents. Maybe it was their alcoholism that caused it. Maybe it was their drug abuse or something else. God doesn't want you to fake it. He wants you to face it head on. And that's scary, I know, but it's really the only way that you can get past that kind of pain. The truth is that many people still carry around unfinished business with their parents. And just the thought of it brings tears to their eyes. It brings pain to their heart. And you often wonder, how in the world am I going to be able to deal with this? And you're still reacting to your parents even if you're 40 years old. And over again, these kinds of things present themselves. Chances are that you may be venting that anger on somebody else that is close to you, like your husband or your wife, or maybe your children or your friends, because you were never able to resolve this with your parents. If you're still angry with your parents years later, you're still letting them control your life. And it takes a courageous decision to make peace with your parents, but you've got to be able to release that anger or it will destroy you. You've got to admit it, and you cannot hide it, and you've eventually got to discuss it. It's a courageous decision for somebody to stop blaming somebody else and start being honest. And what some of us need to do is maybe just prayerfully have a conference with parents. Sit down and say, Mom, or sit down and say, Dad, I want to be free to be able to honor the good that was in your life, but I can't talk about the good that was in your life until I talk about the pain that I felt and still feel and come to some kind of resolution of that. I want us to get that behind us and get on with life, and I want a new relationship with you unlike one that we've had previously. That's scary to do. That's a lot easier said than done. I may be speaking tonight to somebody that can't talk to their parents because maybe those parents are gone. Or maybe they won't listen. Or it may be that because of some chemical dependency, they've lost their mind, really, and you're unable to converse with them. But what I would hope you would do is find some Christian friend, or maybe a shepherd in the church, and at least get some partial relief from that by speaking of what you're carrying around and the burden that you have. But for your own sake and for the sake of your children, stop that cycle and end it. God knows the pain that you feel. He knows and He cares, and He will help you to overcome that pain and can even bring good out of it if you will let Him. I may be even speaking tonight to somebody here that was abandoned by their parents. I don't know all of your life stories, so it would be impossible for me to know particularly about whether or not you had a parent or both of your parents to abandon you. And you're grappling with this command. The Bible says, honor your father and your mother. But that's hard to do when our father walked out and left us. Or that's hard to do when our mother ran off and left us. There are a lot of children that have been forced to make a choice between their mother or their father. And the Bible tells them that they have to honor both of them. Not the personality, perhaps, but the position of this person in your life. And for those of you who are abandoned by one or maybe both of your parents, God says, God says you're a special person. You are one of those people that I believe get special attention from God because God assumes responsibility for abandoned children. My father and my mother might abandon me, but the Father in heaven will never abandon me. I will never leave you nor forsake you. You may have had parents that did. But he said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Regardless of your circumstance, you've got a heavenly Father and he's perfect. And he is unconditionally committed to you and will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He wants you in his family. He wants you to know him. He wants you to get to know him through his Son, Jesus Christ. And he loves you more than you would ever realize. And you need to get to know your heavenly Father. And you need to depend on him. The Bible says that the church is like a family, and it promises that those who follow Christ, Matthew chapter 10, if they follow Christ and they've had to give up a father or a mother or a brother or a sister or houses or lands and all sorts of other things from which they have now been separated because of their commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ, he says, I'll repay you with fathers and mothers and brothers and sisters in the family of God. And that church family of which you are a part is going to last longer than your physical family because in terms of eternity, it is far more important. There will be no physical families in heaven, but there will be one family of God. And those of us who belong to the family of God, the church, will be together forever. And it's going to far outlast any physical family of which you were ever a part. I assume that because in eternity there is no marriage and there is no giving in marriage, as Jesus described it in Matthew chapter 22, that all the family relationships that you and I hold so dear in earth life will be things that will have faded away. It's hard to imagine, isn't it? Hard to imagine that when someone leaves this world even though they've been your spouse, they're no longer your spouse and will never be your spouse again. That's hard to get our temporal minds around. But the family relationship as we know it is an earthly thing. It is an earthly blessing. But you can be a part of a family that will never break up. A family that will never dissolve because it is going to be together for eternity. And if you find stability and comfort and care in relationships in the body of Christ, in the family of God, then you will have achieved one of the greatest eternal blessings that the Lord ever planned for human beings. I know this has not been an easy lesson. And I recognize that it's painful for some of us. But I speak about these things because God doesn't sweep them under the rug. He knows what pain is about and He knows what troubles we have. And He sees those things and He understands that. And I'm asking you tonight to ask God to help you. And in your heart say, God, help me let go of the past. Help me let go of the bitterness. Help me to forgive. Help me to begin to accept and to appreciate and to affirm the good things about my parents, and help me to forge a new and positive relationship with them if that's possible. But above all else, if we can understand that God has provided something for us that's eternal in the family that He has created, that we will come to cherish that relationship above every other human relationship we have. And that we'll come to value the fact that God gave that to us because He knew that we needed to be a part of something lasting, something that would not erode, something that would not be dissolved, but something that would be there for all eternity. With our focus on our Father and our elder brother, Jesus Christ. If you're not a Christian tonight, let God add you to His family. Let Him add you to the church. The Bible teaches us that we're all children of God by adoption. We were not naturally born into this family, but the Lord chose us. He looked down upon us and He decided, these people need something I can provide. And He saved us from our sins and adopted us as children into His family. He had one only begotten Son, and that was Jesus. But He wanted many other children, and the way in which He obtained those children was through the process of adoption. That's how we came to be members of the family of God. And He waits tonight to call you His son or His daughter if you would kneel in obedience to Him and determine that you're going to serve Him. Let us know if we can help you obey while we stand and while we sing.